ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 1 वर्स नंबर 16 चैप्टर द हिस्ट्री ऑफ द लाइफ ऑफ अजामिल।
ना तथा हि अगवन राजन, ना तथा हि अगवान राजन, पूयेता तप आदिभिः, पूयेता तप आदिभिः, यथा कृष्णार्पितः प्राणस्, यथा कृष्णार्पितः प्राणस्, तत्पुरुष निषेवयः, तत्पुरुषा निषेवया। ना तथा हि अगवान राजन् पूयेता तप आदिभिः, यथा कृष्णार्पित प्राणस् तत्पुरुष निषेवया।
What word meaning? Na, not. Tatha, so much. He, certainly. Aghavan, a man full of sinful activities. Rajan, O king. Puyeta, can become purified. Tapaha adibhi, by executing the principles of austerity, penance, brahmacharya, and other purifying processes. Yatha, as much as Krishna arpita pranaha, a devotee whose life is fully Krishna conscious. Tat purusha nishevaya, by engaging his life in the service of Krishna's representative. Translation. My dear king, if a sinful person engages in the service of a bona fide devotee of the Lord and thus learns how to dedicate his life unto the lotus feet of Krishna, he can be completely purified. One cannot be purified merely by undergoing austerity, penance, brahmacharya, and the other methods of atonement I have previously described. You can repeat the translation.
My dear king,
if a sinful person
engages
in the service of a bona fide devotee of the Lord and thus learns how to dedicate his life unto the lotus feet of Krishna, he can be completely purified. One cannot be purified merely by undergoing austerity, penance, brahmacharya, and other methods of atonement I have previously described. It has a long purport, not very long, but decent. Tat Purusha refers to a preacher of Krishna consciousness, such as the spiritual master. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has said, Chhadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Paye Chekeva. Without serving a bona fide spiritual master, an ideal Vaishnava, who can be delivered from the clutches of Maya? This idea is also expressed in many other places. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.52 says, Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahor Vimukte. If one desires liberation from the clutches of Maya, one must associate with a pure devotee, Mahatma. A Mahatma is one who engages 24 hours daily in the loving service of the Lord. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9.13, Mahatmanastu maam partha devim prakritim ashrita bhajanti ananya manaso gyatva bhutadim abhyayam. O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Thus, the symptom of a Mahatma is that he has no engagement other than service to Krishna. One must render service to a Vaishnava in order to get freed from sinful reactions and revive one's original Krishna consciousness and be trained in how to love Krishna. This is the result of Mahat Seva. Of course, if one engages in the service of a pure devotee, the reactions of one's sinful life are vanquished automatically. Devotional service is necessary not to drive away any insignificant stock of sins, but to awaken our dormant love for Krishna. As fog is vanquished at the first glimpse of sunlight, one's sinful reactions are automatically vanquished as soon as one begins serving a pure devotee. No separate endeavor is required. The word Krishnarpita Prana refers to a devotee who dedicates his life to serving Krishna. Not to being saved from the path of hellish life, a devotee is Narayana Parayana or Vasudeva Parayana, which means that the path of Vasudev or devotional path is his life and soul. Narayana para sarvina kutascha vibhyate, Bhagavatam 6.7.28. Such a devotee is not afraid of going anywhere. There is a path towards liberation in the higher planetary systems and path towards the hellish planets. But a Narayana para devotee is unafraid wherever he is sent. He simply wants to remember Krishna wherever he may be. Such a devotee is unconcerned with hell and heaven. He is simply attached to rendering service to Krishna. When a devotee is put into hellish condition, he accepts them as Krishna's mercy. Tatte anukampam susumikshamanah, Bhagavatam 10.14.8. He does not protest, "Oh, I am such a great devotee of Krishna. Why I have been put into this misery?" Instead, he thinks, "This is Krishna's mercy." Such an attitude is possible for a devotee who engages in service of Krishna's representative. This is the secret of success.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jayena Tasmay Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Twayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिय वंशा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे. हरे कृष्णा. सो इन दिस चैप्टर वेयर द हिस्ट्री ऑफ लाइफ ऑफ अजामिल विल सून कम, सुखदेव गोस्वामी इज सेटिंग अप द सीन, एस्टैब्लिशिंग द प्रिंसिपल्स बिफोर हैंड, व्हाट अजामिल विल एक्सपीरियंस एंड द रीजन हाउ ही विल अटेन perfection or success. So in yesterday's verse it is explained basically how the process of bhakti is very superior in comparison to the other processes of karma, jnana, atonement, austerity, brahmacharya, whatever. And then Gopam Deshpur explained yesterday how and why bhakti surpasses all of them. In today's verse, this verse basically gives us an idea, inspires us, gives us very direct, very clear indication on how to achieve pure devotional service, which was mentioned in yesterday's verse, which in itself is enough to eradicate all the sinful reactions to the core, but more than that, grant us pure devotional service, our dormant love of Krishna is also revived. So in this particular verse, if we see, the verse itself begins by saying, Na tathahi aghavan rajan. The word used is aghavan. We have very popularly heard in our beginning classes the meaning of the word Bhagavan. Parashar Muni gives the definition of the word Bhagavan. Bhaga means opulences. There are six different opulences the Supreme Lord has. Beauty, strength, fame, knowledge, renunciation, and power. No, power is done. And wealth, yeah. So that person who has all these opulences, he, one who possesses this opulence, is called Bhagavan. Van means one who possesses these opulences. Similarly, our condition in material life is that we are, of course, not Bhagavan, but we are Aghavan. Agha means sin. So the word used here is Aghavan. The Supreme Lord is called Bhagavan, and we are called Aghavan, full of sin. So we possess sin, and that's our qualification, our standard, material standard. That more someone is Aghavan, he is considered very superior in this world. So this verse is basically a journey from Aghavan to Bhagavan. So from a sinful life to life of dedicated service to Supreme Lord. Of course, we don't want to become Bhagavan. We don't want to become Krishna. But to become godly is a very cherished desire of any devotee, any sadhaka who is practicing, who is aiming. So for that, agha, sin has to be fully removed. And the previous verse in which bhakti was glorified explains how the sinful reactions will be removed. What is the process? The abhideya, the process was very nicely given. Now, in this verse, Sukadev Goswami tells us how one can achieve it. So the how is given in this verse. That is by coming in contact with the pure devotees and more by serving them, following their instructions. So this is the key of this verse. So journey from Aghavan to Bhagavan. So Prabhupada gives amazing, but the purport itself is a class. If you slowly just read the purport, it is a class. So, but I can't memorize it, so I'll try to follow through the purport with some other extra points. So Prabhupada immediately begins by quoting Narottam Das Thakur's, I think it's from Premachandrika, this statement. Chhadiya Vaishnav Seva Nistara Payache Keba. And I was trying to search which bhajan is it. Means I had very less time, but I couldn't find it. While I was searching, there is more than 30-40 different references of the same statement Prabhupada has given throughout his books. Maybe more than that. I didn't go through all of them. And he is quoting this one statement so many times. Because in Prabhupada's own Prakatya Leela, in his own manifest pastime, he shows this verse as the success statement of his life also. That just by without serving a bona fide spiritual master, how one can be delivered from Maya. We all know Prabhupada's history. He was fighting for India's freedom movement, supporting Mahatma Gandhi. And his association with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the transformation, was the change that took place in his life. And because of him, millions also got benefited by that one incident. So if we give up the association or service to great devotees, then what is the scope? What is the hope? So that's the theme Prabhupada begins this purport, because the verse is very clearly indicating to this one principle. But the verse says, someone who is Krishnarpita Prana, who has given up their life to serve Krishna, who basically in Prabhupada says, whose life and soul is to serve Krishna, by serving those great Mahatmas, those great souls, one's life becomes successful. One attains pure devotional service. So, in a many different bhajans, very popular ones also are there, Ohe Vaishnav Thakur. You know, they're very amazing statements which people who are of material consciousness or who are just even starting devotional life can question why such a strong statement is made or why such a humility is shown towards devotee. Is it just a matter of etiquette or there is something more deep philosophy to it? And the bhajan says, Krishna se tomara, Krishna dite para, tomara shakti ache. Krishna belongs to you, O devotees. And it is your strength, it's your Krishna, because Krishna is your property. If you want to give me Krishna, then you give me Krishna. Ami to kangal, Krishna Krishna boli, chaye tava pache pache. I am a beggar, a pauper. I don't have Krishna. That's why I am running behind you, begging to you, please give me Krishna, please give me Krishna. So these statements can bewilder non-devotees' mind. That is it a little overstatement? You know, because you yourself are the bhajan written by these Vaishnavas, they themselves are pure devotees of the Lord. And still their realization is, I don't have Krishna. The only hope and scope I have to get Krishna is if I beg from pure devotees of the Lord. And if, because they have Krishna and Krishna is their property, if they want, they can give it to us. So whole mission statement of Srila Prabhupada's life, if actually you see, is this one verse. And of course, Prabhupada was not aghavan. He didn't possess any sin from to begin with. But in his leela, to show us, that's how he shows. Even though he didn't practice, he didn't have any symptoms of material sinful life also. But still, he did show us that without coming in contact with the spiritual master, it's not possible. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he would practice this, that, so many types of religion he would learn, here, there, Christianity, Buddhism, so many types of religion he would try to learn, but until he really caught hold of the teachings coming directly in parampara, it didn't change his life in that sense. So very important. In another verse, which says, I think Narottam Das Thakur says this, Tandera charana sevi bhakta sanivas janame janame hoi ei abhilash. So my life's desire, birth after birth after birth, is what? I want to serve you, O devotees. Tandera charana sevi. I just want to serve your lotus feet and I just want to be with the devotees. Actually, if you very carefully see, it appears, it's a very simple statement to make. But there's a lot of realization behind it. And that one can only experience if one has honestly associated, sincerely associated with devotees, gained some realization of the benefit of devotee association, and then you are separated from devotees for some time, or for whatever time, then this realization becomes thicker. Because then you really understand, oh, Tandera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanivas. If I can just serve the lotus feet of my spiritual master and I can stay with the devotees, the whole wealth of this material world is useless. All the enjoyment of this material world is useless. You know, even in the case of Pandavas, we see, when they were sent to exile in the forest, in TV serials and all, or what common notion people have is that five Pandavas just walked out of Hastinapur, their capital city, and they just remained in the forest. But actually, Yudhishthir Maharaj very specifically accommodated hundreds of brahmanas who were staying with them all the time. They accompanied them, they walked off. They just left Hastinapur with Yudhishthir Maharaj. And only one reason he hired brahmanas with them, so that he can discuss Krishna consciousness. And they also wanted to be with such a saintly king. This is amazing, to just association of devotees. So many different examples. You know, we'll go through some of the things. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is glorifying the nature of such a Vaishnava whose association is so much cherished and looked for up to. And devotees are really trying their best to somehow gain few minutes of association when their spiritual master comes or when any great devotee visits our temple. So why such an importance is given to association of devotees is major part of the purport Srila Prabhupada mentions. Where he mentions the nature of such devotees. And one of the key qualities of such devotees are that they are 24/7 engaged in service of Krishna. They have no other agenda but to perform loving devotional service to Krishna. And Prabhupada quotes Bhagavad Gita 9:13. It's a very famous verse actually. Mahatmanas tu mam partha devim prakriti mashritah bhajanti ananya manaso gyatva bhutadim abhyayam. Krishna says, O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of my divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. This is the realization of these devotees, that's why they are called Mahatmas. Not someone who is a popular politician and for some political mileage, his party members call him Mahatma. So, one time I was speaking to my uncle in Delhi, and the politician one, yeah. So I was speaking to him, and he wanted to basically counter and defeat me in argument, because he had spoken to a couple of devotees, and then because these are politicians, you know, and their strength is to go and on the stage and give speeches, basically. So he told my mother behind my back that he has already basically defeated or argued and debated with a couple of other devotees, and they couldn't talk to him or reply to him, whatever. And then he wanted to do the same with me. I didn't know all this is going to take place. So then he came and he was telling me, Gyani, you ISKCON people, you think you're Gyanis? You have some knowledge. I am a Gyani. And then in a few minutes I figured out he was a little drunk also. So, but he was in full swing. So he went on, you know, you talk about any subject matter, I know. Gyani, Gyani. Somehow Krishna inspired me not to speak anything. I was very happy. So, and my mother was a little upset with me. Why didn't you speak to him? You should have told him, you know. Because later I was telling my mother, oh, this is what he was saying, you know, this is the qualification of a Gyani, Bhagavad Gita says this. And in front of him, why didn't you speak? So I was happy I didn't speak, because it was literally going to be useless. Person who is a little drunk and the ego is heavily drunk, fully intoxicated. So, but this is the mentality, this is the mindset, very cheap usage of words, I am a Gyani. Similarly, very cheap usage of word Mahatma. Is very popularized in Indian politics also. So, and many stalwart, many great devotees, Prabhupada, they have all smashed this usage of Mahatma. But what is a Mahatma who is 24/7 engaged in serving Krishna, knowing that Krishna is original and inexhaustible? This is the same Mahatma who once said that if it is true that Rasa Leela took place, Krishna stole the clothes of gopis and asked them to come out of water without any clothes, and he has danced with other people's wife, I reject Krishna. And this is a Mahatma. The whole world calls him Mahatma. But what is the definition of Mahatma? He sees Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. That means whatever he does has to be good. And this is a very key principle in Prabhupada's teachings, in his life, in his example, that he has very exclusively shown us what it means to work for pleasure of Krishna. Actually, I was speaking to another, I don't know which devotee we were talking, but I think we were talking the other day, how very systematically Prabhupada has shown, which many powerful acharyas or many great saints, they are pure devotees, they could not establish what it means to work for pleasure of Krishna. What it actually means that our actions are meant to please Krishna. And that's why many traditions which would have started on pure terms have now just ended up in just religious sentiments, whether it is any sampradaya, most of the places of worship, whether it's, you know, Balaji temple happening. Very few people will really figure out. Very few people have real clarity of what it means to serve Krishna for Krishna's pleasure. Religiosity has those who are very traditionally ardent, very strong in their practice, for many of them it has turned ritual. It's just a ritualistic practice, a very strong practice, and they stick to it. But to deeply understand the pleasure of Krishna, pleasure of Balaji, pleasure of Govinda, pleasure of Udupi Krishna, pleasure of Srinathji, pleasure of Badrinath, pleasure of Jagannath, it's not something very clearly understood. You know, there are thousands and thousands of servants of Jagannath in Jagannath Puri. How many actually understand my action is for pleasure of Jagannath? And Prabhupada has really very systematically explained and established. And in one of the classic examples, one of the lectures when he was giving in Mumbai, Giriraj Maharaj writes in his book, I'll Build You a Temple, when he's speaking about Jnana Karmadi and Avritam, speaking from Nectar of Devotion, that how everything we do in devotional life is devoid of Jnana and Karma. He quotes Sanatana Goswami. Prabhupada quotes Sanatana Goswami, and Prabhupada says that to give bribe is wrong. To give bribe to someone is wrong. But Sanatana Goswami gave bribe. And that was Krishna Anushilanam. That was for pleasure of Krishna. He gave bribe to run away from the prison house. Prabhupada says, because this was in a context where in India, to get anything done, you have to give bribe. So now devotees cannot be moralist that bribe is wrong. If you want to build a temple for Krishna, you have to give bribe. It's very simple. So, like that, you know. So this is Krishna Anusilanam. So this is this. Now, if Prabhupada wouldn't explain this, or show by his example, and remain a moralist, how is it possible for us to even talk about it now? You know, Prabhupada very boldly says, there is a moralist, someone is giving him money and he says, I don't want. And what is Prabhupada's mindset? Krishna Anusilanam. Give me money. Someone by mistake transferred $10,000, some bank transferred $10,000 in his account. I think this pastime is in Lilamrita. And Prabhupada withdraws it. And the bank is chasing him. Give the money back. Prabhupada said, no. Now, it's wrong, right? Actually, if you see, it's wrong. If by mistake money comes to your account and you withdraw it and don't return, it's wrong. But Prabhupada says, I am the only one who knows how to use this money in Krishna's service. No one else knows. So, why to return? Now, it's very difficult to understand this. Unless we have some mercy of our parampara and their teachings to understand, and Srila Prabhupada's example to understand this. And that's why, previously also I was mentioning, that when someone asked Srila Prabhupada, one devotee asked Prabhupada, what should we do if we see a man drowning? Prabhupada says, don't interfere, let him drown. And this is a very bewildering reply. He says, Prabhupada says, why do you want to interfere in someone's karma? Then Prabhupada quotes this. Anya abhilashita sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam. A pure devotional service is devoid of jnana and karma. Then why do you want to interfere in someone's karma? Then Prabhupada says, but because it will give bad name to Krishna that, oh, this devotee was seeing someone drowning and he didn't save, for that you go and save. So it's, how deep is this message actually, that Krishna Anusilanam, whatever is for serving Krishna, for pleasure of Krishna, is pure devotional service. And this is a Mahatma. This is the nature of a Mahatma. And coming in contact with such a person, serving him, creates massive change in one's life. Otherwise, you know, this very popular statement Prabhupada makes when devotees approached him, reading some verse from Bhagavatam, that, oh, because we are chanting holy name of Krishna, that means we have done all tapasya, all reading, all shastra, all yagyas we have done. Prabhupada said, no. You were born sinful. You were born cow eaters, meat eaters. All sinful activities you were doing, I created your qualification so that you can chant Krishna's holy name. So this is where this verse is taking. We are born Aghavan and we want Bhagavan. So this is by the mercy of Vaishnavas only it's possible. So two reasons I was thinking, two things takes place when one comes in contact with pure devotees and why transformation takes place. And one of the thing is, the first thing that happens is, especially when we're trying to serve the pure devotees of the Lord, is that the Supreme Lord is very pleased. And that's where change happens, because the Lord is within us. And why the Supreme Lord is very pleased? Because the pure devotees are very determined not to accept any service from Krishna. Their goal is to only serve Krishna. And the nature of the mood of pure devotees is they will not take any service from Krishna. And we see very classic examples when Rupa Goswami, to serve Sanatana Goswami, just desired that I want to make sweet rice. And the Radharani as a little girl comes and gives him ingredients. And when Sanatana Goswami finds out that my brother desired something for me and that is the reason Radharani came, he got upset. He said, we don't want to take service from Radha Krishna. They are our Ishtadev. We have to serve them rather taking service. Sanatana Goswami got upset with Raghunath Das Goswami when Raghunath Das Goswami was chanting the holy names, which is service to Krishna in pure devotion, but he did not take care of his external situation and he was sitting in very scorching sun. And Radharani had to come with her sari to cover him from sunlight. Sanatana Goswami got upset. He got upset. He said, why are you taking service from Radharani? We are supposed to serve her. Now imagine if some devotee is there, a pure devotee is there, whom Radha Krishna are really trying to serve and they are not taking any service. But out of kindness on us, they take service from us. So basically we have achieved that goal which even Krishna cannot achieve. Actually, if you see. So our success is by doing that activity which even Krishna cannot do, to serve his pure devotees. So when out of kindness these pure devotees accept our service to help us, that is actually attracting Krishna's attention, because even Krishna cannot do that. And this is why serving the pure devotees of the Supreme Lord is the shortcut. Or the way, or I would say it's really a shortcut. If we can really attract the attention of the devotees of the Lord, and from their heart they say, okay, what should I pray for you or ask for something? We've seen so many stories in the scriptures where doing little service pleases the devotees, and these great souls, these Mahatmas, Gyanis or whoever they are, they say, okay, what do you want? I'm pleased with the service. Whether it was Durvasa Muni as a great sage, or you know, Narad Muni, or so many different personalities. Exactly. Or Lord Shiva, or the Supreme Lord. So when I was thinking this point, this thought came to my mind that when these great sages are pleased by some service done by Duryodhan, and he says, okay, ask for a boon. Durvasa Muni said, ask for a boon. And Durvasa Muni knows this guy is a little creep type guy, you know, a little odd, you know, in his activities, in his behavior. And still he said, I am very pleased by your service, ask for something. Is it not that our spiritual masters, great devotees, will also be thinking like that when we really please them? Okay. This thought was just going through my mind that they must be also thinking similar. Now, okay, what do you want? Okay, I'll pray to Krishna for you. Such a nice devotee. So this is a very easy yet a little hard to perform, because to serve means little humility is required, and especially to serve other devotees, it's not easy. A lot of barriers come in the way, and that's why these type of verses which are encouraging us that one can be freed from all sinful reactions, one can actually attract the mercy of the Supreme Lord just by serving Vaishnavas. It inspires us, okay, let me do something today, or in general. The second thing that takes place, which by serving or coming in contact with the devotees, is of course their physical presence, but putting their words in practice, that transforms. So when we are in contact, close proximity of great souls, two things takes place again. One is we hear their words and we put in practice. And other is we get inspired by their own personal example. So when we are in presence of these great souls, their personal example is the key a disciple or a follower is looking for. You know, when Prabhupada went for Kumbh Mela, that is the year Prabhupada passed away, 1977. And because he was in Kumbh Mela, and he saw devotees are not going for cold or shower in early mornings and they're not performing Mangala Aarti, Prabhupada thought, okay, I will have to do it. So he himself did it. In that, you know, if you see those videos, Kumbh Mela videos, the speed in which Prabhupada is walking, that is very, very slow compared to Prabhupada's normal standard walk, at least 10 times slow. He's just somehow moving very slowly with the stick, he's walking and devotees are following him. So Prabhupada was very sick that time. But when you are in contact with a devotee like that, or any other senior Vaishnava, then their example is really inspiring. You know, even if why we have to look up to our spiritual masters, when we are doing some service along with some other devotee and they are very enthusiastic, it seriously rubs on us. If we are in kitchen or cleaning or book distribution, you know, we stop spacing out because we see, oh my God, this person, this devotee is just into the pot, you know. He's inside the pot cooking. Everything is just inside for him. The whole kitchen is just inside. He's so much meditating, so much focus. So then we also try. And that activity itself, because it's devotional service, creates purification and naturally we become fixed. So amazing, amazing thing that takes place. And of course then putting their instruction in practice, which is what? To serve Krishna, also has another ongoing purificatory effect. So very interesting, this thing takes place. How serving a devotee attracts the attention of Krishna and brings purification to us. Lord Rishabhdev, when he starts speaking his very famous teachings, in very initial verses only, he glorifies the service to the devotees. In 5.5.2, it says, Mahat sevam dwaram ahormi muktes tamo dwaram yoshitam sanghi sangam mahantaste samachitta prasanta vimanaya suhrida sadhavoye. Lord Rishabh says, one can attain the path of liberation from material bondage only by rendering service. The word used is only. One can attain path of liberation from material bondage only by rendering service to highly advanced spiritual personalities. These personalities are impersonalists and devotees. Whether one wants to merge into the Lord's existence or want to associate with the personality of Godhead, one should render service to the Mahatmas. For those who are not interested in such activities, who associate with people fond of women and sex, the path to hell is wide open. The Mahatmas are equipoised. They do not see any difference between one living entity and another. They are very peaceful and are fully engaged in devotional service. They are devoid of anger. They work for the benefit of everyone and they do not behave in any abominable way. Such people are known as Mahatmas. It's a classic definition of Mahatma. Now we put the standard Mahatma in this definition. Nothing will match. Nothing will match. They don't see any difference between living entities and other. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes another very famous verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is, Asat Sang Tyag Ai Vaishnavachar. So the behavior of a devotee is that he gives up the association of non-devotees. Which type of non-devotees? It says, Stri Sangi Ek Asadhu Krishna Bhakta Ar. One who is, he's not saying give up the association of woman. He's saying give up the association of someone who is addicted to womanizing, who is meditating on woman, or basically in general opposite sex, the principle. It's vice versa for man or woman. So someone who is addicted to sex life, give up their association. That is more dangerous. And then it says, other association you give up, is association of someone who is not devotee of Krishna. Krishna abhakta. So if these two association is given up, this is the behavior, or this is how a Vaishnava deals or moves around. So Prabhupada, in the purport, later part of the purport, is mentioning or is glorifying another very important quality of a devotee, of a Vaishnava, of a Mahatma. He says, the word used in the verse is Krishna Arpita Prana. Very simple. Krishna Arpita Prana. Prana means life. Arpita means dedicated or given to Krishna. One who has given his life to Krishna. So someone who has given their life to Krishna, Prabhupada explains in the purport that they are not serving Krishna to get rid of their sinful reaction. Very important point to know. Most of the people, when they come to devotional service, if they understand little bit philosophy, little bit, that by chanting or by dancing in kirtan, sins will reduce. So that becomes the catalyst. That becomes a key reason for them to practice devotional service. But someone who is advanced, who is a Mahatma, who is a great soul, for them, whether they are in hell or heaven, there is no consideration. And that's why they are called Narayana Para devotees. So this is the classic story of Chitraketu Maharaj, who was, when traveling on a plane, he himself has many queens with him, and he sees Lord Shiva in Kailash giving a talk on celibacy to celibate monks, having Mother Parvati sitting on his lap. When Chitraketu Maharaj, who is traveling with other queens, sees that scene, he just laughs. Laughs not to ridicule or joke on Lord Shiva, but he smiles or laughs, basically to see only he can do it. It's not possible for others. But Mother Parvati, when she sees, he's laughing on my husband because he's giving a talk on celibacy, making me sit on his lap. His hand is around Parvati's shoulder and Parvati is sitting and he's speaking, okay, how to control the senses. So Mother Parvati gets very upset and basically curses Chitraketu Maharaj. And when Chitraketu Maharaj, when they both see, Lord Shiva knew Chitraketu Maharaj, but when Mother Parvati sees the reaction of Chitraketu Maharaj, it surprises her. That Chitraketu Maharaj, she says, you go to hell and you become a demon. You're useless, you know. You're not supposed to be this king. And Chitraketu Maharaj says, thank you, my dear mother. Please bless me that I can never forget Narayan. So Mother Parvati is very surprised by this reaction. And Lord Shiva, understanding her surprise, preaches to her that this is the quality of the great devotees of the Supreme Lord. And he quotes a very amazing, these are very famous verses. And all these verses are quoted in this purport only. Some verses Prabhupada has given one line, some he has given proper verse. So the Lord Shiva says to Mother Parvati, Narayana para sarve nakutaschana vibhyati swarga apavargasya narkeshu apitulyartha darshinaha. He says, devotees solely engaged in devotion service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are only interested in service of the Lord. And this is one of the, you know, many devotees, they take to Krishna consciousness for a peaceful, happy life. But more they advance, the anxiety increases. Anxiety to serve Krishna. But if they know from beginning that after 15 years, I will have so much anxiety for Krishna, they will not take it. Actually, they will not take up to the process. Imagine, there is a very famous joke on that. You know, there was a guy who accepted Maunavrat, that he will not speak anything. Nobody can make him speak. People came, tickled him, some were beating him, some were trying to make him laugh, act funny in front of him. So many things they were doing, and he would not speak. So our Hare Krishna devotees found out that this competition is going on. Gaurang Prabhu mentions this joke. This competition is going on. And this person has taken a vow and he is very rigid, he is not speaking. So, our Hare Krishna devotee, he went and spoke in his ears and he suddenly said, "No, I will not." And everyone thought, "My God, we tried so many things. And you just came and said something in his ears and he's shouting and he started speaking. What did you say?" He said, "I just went and told him, would you like to become a manager in ISKCON?" He said, "No, I will not." So he just spoke. But a devotee doesn't mind it, actually. Because if the goal is to become servant of Krishna, then it doesn't matter. And of course, Chitraketu Maharaj was transferred to a body of a demon. How many people he would have killed, eaten alive as Vritrasura? Killed many demigods also. But that is the job, that is the workings of the body he was forced to go in, but that did not basically budge him from his meditation on Krishna. And Indra was shocked. What type of demon is this? Who is telling me, please kill, I cannot stay away from Narayan anymore. I am exactly like a bird whose mother has gone out and I am waiting for that mother. I am exactly like a calf who is eager to drink milk from the udder of the mother. And I am like that wife who is waiting when the husband has gone out for a very long time to make money and she is eagerly waiting, when will my husband come back? And he says, this is what I am feeling. I am exactly like these three personalities. Kill me fast. And Indra is surprised, how to deal with such a demon who is so eager to go and serve the Supreme Lord. And that is Narayana Para devotees. Prabhupada says, Vasudeva Para devotees. That is the type of devotee which is spoken in this verse, in this purport. And who is Prabhupada speaking about this in this purport? He is not naming himself, but he is speaking about himself only. Prabhupada has not written all this purport from Vrindavan. He went to hellish conditions. He went to the hellish conditions and he preached. And this is one of the very classic qualities of a pure devotee of Prabhupada's caliber. You know, if someone is in a ditch, you can call out to them, "Come out, come out." They are not coming out. Maximum, you can go and give your hand. But who will go inside the ditch, go underneath them and then push them out? That only devotees of Prabhupada's caliber can do it. And his disciples, his followers, following in exactly same example of Srila Prabhupada, are trying to do this. That you're not just calling out someone, come, giving some knowledge, some education, writing some books and that's it. Or you're not just giving your hand, okay, I am sitting in Vrindavan, I will give you all the instructions if you come to me. He goes inside the ditch and he is lifting the devotees up, pushing them up from underneath. Otherwise, how is it possible for Agavan, whose life is possessed completely of sins, to reach Bhagavan? It's not possible. Unless such devotees are there in our lives. Because this material world is designed to give suffering. There is no other way. So for a devotee to have this attitude of saying thank you when any difficulty comes is very transforming in terms of consciousness. So then they can really access or attract the mercy of these great Vaishnavas and Supreme Lord also. And Prabhupada says in the purport that those who are Narayan Para devotees of that caliber, when any problem comes to them, like Chitraketu Maharaj, they can say thank you. Thank you. Prabhupada quotes, Tatte anukampa susumiksamano munjana evatma kritam vipakam hridvag avapurbir vidadan namaste jivetave mukti dayase dayabhak. So, now it may be hard for us when serious problem comes to us, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, whatever type of problem comes to us, and say, thank you, Krishna, very kind. That's your mercy. And I can see it as your mercy. It's not easy. But at least we have someone who sees like that. To associate and to serve them, it's amazing. You know, if all your final investments are burned down to ashes, and that investment you did, for example, all your money you have, and you have invested in some factory, some property, some investment, some share, some crypto, whatever, for propagating Krishna consciousness, for example, and that is burned down to ashes, hacked, corrupted, file gone, it's just stolen. And you had no other agenda other than spreading Krishna consciousness. Can we still say thank you, Krishna? And Prabhupada did that when his factory in Allahabad was burned. And he was very clear in his agenda, I want to make money to spread Krishna consciousness. His goal was not to become a rich man, to have a good life for his kids, and he'll be the top 100 or top 10 billionaires in India, and name comes in Forbes list. No, his goal was very clear that I want to spread Krishna consciousness, for that I need money. And whatever money he had, he invested in a factory, burned down to ashes. And Prabhupada says, thank you, Krishna. Very difficult. Actually, it's very difficult when problem strikes us, at us, when we are really down emotionally or physically or mentally, health goes down, it is not easy to say thank you, Krishna. But if we can, then jive soyo mukti pade sadai bhag, we become qualified, eligible for liberation. And Brahmaji says, dai bhag, means it is your rightful claim, nobody can take away from you. You are going back home, back to Godhead, if this is developed. No matter what happens in life, they say, thank you, Krishna. It's not easy. But we can pray for that. I just like to tell one quick pastime. Many of you have heard that. This is Srila Prabhupada's pastime in Mumbai, where we all know all the struggle, all the hardships he went through. And then there was one devotee, Mr. Sethi, who was all along very supportive. He was one of the pillars because of whom this temple could, the project could begin, to begin with, to this project could even start. And then he fought with all the hooligans who were disturbing the place. And then simultaneously he was constructing residence for devotees. And when Prabhupada came to Mumbai after some time, and he found out that Mr. Sethi is constructing house for devotees, Prabhupada was so pleased that this is the exact blessing I was telling, that if we please the devotees, they utter a blessing. And it will be amazing if we serve the devotees in such a way that they are forced to utter a blessing. And that is a lottery for a devotee. So Prabhupada said to this devotee, oh, just how you are building residence for my disciples here, Krishna is building a house in Goloka Vrindavan, in Krishna Loka. And then Mr. Sethi in his humility says, Prabhupada, I am a sinful man. How can I go to Krishna Loka? And you know what Prabhupada says? And this is honestly amazing. Prabhupada says, that I will see. Prabhupada says, this is not your duty. I will see to it that you go to Krishna Loka. That's amazing, huh? So what he did? Some construction for devotees, protected the temple from breaking down, and stood with the devotees throughout. In few years, the representative of the Supreme Lord, the Acharya of the planet, comes and says, it's not your headache. I will make sure you go back home, back to Godhead, and you are going to Krishna Loka. And that's why serving these great Mahatmas is, you know, Rishabhdev says, very straight, clear word he uses. He says, path of liberation from material bondage one can attain only by rendering service to highly advanced spiritual personalities. The word uses only. We have not much too much of qualifications of sadhana, this vrata, that vrata, Bhishma Panchak, this. We don't even know what is Bhishma Panchak if it's not for Prabhupada. Nothing we would have followed. Nothing we would have done. Just Aghavan, purely Aghavan. And only the levels of Agha, sin, would vary. And our competition will be, I am greater Agha, I am greater sin. But because of Prabhupada, we become Anagha. Because Krishna is anagha, sinless. So I'll just stop there. I'll see if any questions or comments on what we discussed.
Thank you, Prabhuji. I just wanted to add, can I add something to that Sethi pastime?
Mm-hmm.
In a memory of Prabhupada, Sethi, he says that Prabhupada said to him to take initiation, and he said, how can I can't, it's too hard for me to give up chai or whatever other things. So Prabhupada said, okay, you keep serving the devotees, and Prabhupada said, Krishna is so kind that the devotee will go back to Godhead anyway. But the devotee of the devotee will also go back. Mm-hmm. So along with them, you'll also go back.
Yeah. Amazing.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm wondering, what's the mood of serving the devotees?
What was the mood?
For serving the devotees, but not for getting benefit for yourself, you know, like serving them, but not...
I'll read you exactly from Purport. Prabhupada answers your question. One must render service to Vaishnava in order to get freed from sinful reaction, revives one's original Krishna consciousness, and be trained in how to love Krishna. This is the result of Mahat Seva. And then the answer comes, of course, if one engages in service of pure devotees, the reaction of one's sinful life are vanquished automatically. Devotional service is necessarily not to drive away insignificant stock of sins, but to awaken our dormant love for Krishna. This is the mood. So byproduct or side effect, when that is made into a prime object, it weakens the agenda. It weakens our determination. So if we stick to why I am serving the devotees, because it pleases Krishna. It pleases Krishna. One time we invited someone, one new devotee. He's a devotee now. For preaching, you know how you invite on for prasadam, in Maharasa Prabhu's house, we invited someone, and then the person is very honest, very straight person. So he straight away asked, what are you getting out of this? Because we're trying to convince him, you know, with this angle, that angle, what are you getting out of this? What do you gain? So then he was told that, quoted that verse from Bhagavad Gita, that if someone preaches this message to my devotees, Krishna says, in 1873 onwards, I think, if someone preaches this message to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and no one is more dear to him, to me, and never there will be someone more dear to me who preaches my message. I said, that's the agenda. That's the goal. Somehow it clicked to him. He agreed. But he is a devotee, fully practicing now. But it was a very direct question. What do you get out of that? And this is the difference in many religious groups, that this agenda is missing. When I was working, one Muslim guy came, and he was very heavily trying to preach me. He saw my kanti, and he said, you worship dolls, idols, blah blah, murti, why this, why that? And he was quoting that useless Nayak. So all his philosophy, he was just quoting back and forth. And then after full explanation of his side, he was waiting for some reaction. But luckily, in the beginning, he told me one line, that one of your members works with me, and she cannot... I always tell her, and she has no reply. I was happy that he told, because if he would have argued with me, I would have also tried to counter, whatever. But because he told me that one of your members works with me, I didn't want to give him any more answers, so that he counters them also in front of her, and it weakens her faith also. So we were listening, and then when he finished, I had to say something, and not to accept his pure nonsense. Then I said, you had said so much, but I didn't see compassion in you for me. And he was shut. Then what is compassion here now? Because when I'm trying to convert you, where is compassion? My goal is to convert you. And later also we were discussing with the devotees the same point, how he came today. And we were discussing that this is the reason with such a strict philosophy, with this rule, that rule, with no material gains we offer or promise, and Prabhupada could change people's heart because the goal was not to convert. The goal was compassion. He wanted to give Krishna, to bring change in the other person's life. If his goal would have been to increase his number, and there is a fight of increasing number, there are two world major religions who are really in a fight to increase their number, and they have reached villages of India, everywhere they have reached, just how somehow they can increase the numbers. And you'll be shocked the means they use. And one of the very horrible means is, I saw myself, there's a video made, I myself saw how they do it. This is in a village of Gujarat. The whole school kids are there in a school bus. It's packed. Bus is packed with kids. And then the driver stops the bus right in somewhere in the forest. It's like very odd place, you know, it's very scary type. It's daytime, but no one around. And the teacher comes and says, call Rama and Krishna. Help us. We are stuck. Bus is stopped. Call Rama and Krishna. Help us. Bus is stopped. And kids are shouting. They're all Hindu kids, villagers. Krishna, Ram, Hanuman, Shiv, come and save us. And bus doesn't start. Then this teacher comes and says, call our God. And kids are innocent. They call and the driver starts the bus. Whoa! And they go. Imagine the impression on kids. Imagine the, where is compassion? Where is the compassion? Where is the desire to give God to them? It's not there. So if this key principles of exchange of Krishna is missing from the receiver and from the giver, what is the point? And this is just one means. There are so many means that are being used and tried. And if those who are also following Sanatana Dharma to match up, to compete, starts the same process. What is the difference? And that's why Prabhupada was very strong. I am not here for useless stars. I am here for one moon who can brighten the whole dark night. And I am here for, if I come to West and I die, but I just make one pure devotee, my mission is successful. So this is a very classic mood of a Mahatma or a pure devotee. And if the receiver is also having a similar mood, that my service to them is not to just remove some sinful reaction, but to gain that same purpose for which he has come, it's an amazing combination, and very good results are achieved. Okay? Thank you. Granth Rashi Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hari Bol.